Second and goal, 17 seconds. Raymond on the rollout. Raymond throws.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, DJE2. Please stand up and give a warm round of applause for your host.
Yeah, what the fuck that next? Doing it big in 2000 in a net fan. Been an off season, y'all forget 10. We got the best show on the net, and we gonna bring it to you live. BAU stream every Thursday night. Old school and Doc, always keeping it tight. If you got an email, Ben, tell them where to write. Chef to the chat room. If you want a podcast, shout to you too. We gon' do what we do. About to win it all like we did in 02. Now that fucking that football, yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, old school, why don't we go ahead and start this show up, you dig?
All right, E2. Hey, welcome everybody. How you guys doing tonight? Old school, coming live from Studio 76. Got a little different perspective tonight. Got the other monitor out. We're starting to get ready for the regular season. I apparently forgot how to shave. I'm actually sporting the new What the Buck black dry fit shirt. Our shirts came in tonight. So I'll tell you guys a little bit about that. Let you guys know what's going on the shirt front, as it were. So you guys will know what's going on with our get-together. And we'll be talking Bucks football tonight, which will be a lot of fun. So if you want to participate, you can do so. We'll have Lee, who is Joe 2 from Joe Bucks Fan. .com. He'll be calling in about quarter past, and we'll be talking to him about OTAs and all those sorts of things, trying to get sort of a similar perspective that we got from Mark Cook from Pewter Report. Obviously, those guys have a very different different perspective, you know, which is good. It's good to get different perspectives. You want to see it, I'm wearing it. Very light chat. I'm not sure where everyone is right now. If you guys listen to this on the podcast, we've had some really large chat rooms in the off season, which is nice. So you guys that are here, remind folks about the show. I know it was a last-minute kind of thing, and apologies to you folks who are regular listeners or viewers or any of those things. The off season is always like this. It's a little bit sort of do the best you can while we get things going up until training camp. And then once training camp comes in, that's when we really start to hit our stride with our shows. But today, I was talking to Cheryl this morning, and With everyone's schedule the way it was, there was no way that I could do a show tomorrow night, which meant that we hit Memorial Day weekend, and we definitely wanted to speak a little bit about OTAs, because there's a lot of discussion right now, and some of it is, you know, like we had said before, sort of the conjecture party that seems to go on in the off season, whether it's the discussion about Josh Freeman as a starter, or whether it's the Spence and Zuda fight. It's really the absence of information is driving people to sort of fabricate stories, it seems. That being said, we're all Bucks fans, and we definitely want to see what's going on. Now, one thing that I definitely want to mention, and I'll mention this a couple of times as we go through the discussions tonight, we are going to have a live event June 9th, which is Sunday, a couple of Sundays away from now. It's the second Sunday in June, and what we're going to do is every second Sunday in June, we are going to have a live event where we'll get together at Wing House Tampa. That's on Hillsborough Avenue, which is, you know, Wing House, one of our sponsors. Thank you very much to Aaron and the crew out there at Wing House. We'll get together. We'll have cornhole. There'll be drink specials and food specials, and generally speak about what's going on, whether it is the Bucks because it's during the season, or whether it's tailgate plans or schedules and these sorts of things. It's an excuse for us to get together and have conversations. So there's already some discussion in the chat room right now about what's going on with Revis and the injury, so we can get that stuff kicked off. But first, I want to make sure I thank the folks that are helping us keep things going. Wing House, as I mentioned before, our man John Amato at Buccaneer Beads or Anywhere Transport. I don't see Bones in the chat room yet either. I want to make sure I talk to him about that. My friend Jim from Black Ops and our boys over at Whiskey Willie's. We are still looking for additional sponsors. If you know somebody or you yourself and your business would like to help sponsor What the Buck, let me know. Drop me a note at questions at whatthebuck.net. I'll let you know what our sponsorship packages are. I know a couple of you folks had been interested last year, but it was very late as we approached the season, and you had already spent your marketing budget. So if you're interested now, now's the time. Get in there, and we'll get things going for this season. A couple of other notes. We did cross over the 3,000 follower mark on Twitter, which is awesome. Thanks so much. Chef Red, no, Wing House will not let you in the kitchen when we go there. And in fact, you should enjoy the few times when we get together that you're not responsible to cook. I did, however, tell them, everyone wants to make fun about the new TV in my man cave. You can come to my man cave anytime you want to and judge the equipment in the man cave. I don't care. That was built because I had that TV, and I haven't thought of a way to put a flat panel in there without looking stupid yet. So We can compare man caves anytime you'd like to, Buck for Life. But that's fine. I don't know why people get a dick measure about the man cave. That's just amazing. So at any rate, the sponsors will not be buying me a new TV. But it is cool that we crossed over the 3,000 mark, which was a lot of fun. And so if you guys do have Twitter out there, let people know the word, and we'll continue to do that. So with regards to the T-shirts, if you guys are on Facebook as well, and you know the folks who are normally here, you may want to remind them of that as well. Bones has a full house. What does that mean? I mean, with the number of kids he's got, yes, absolutely, he's got a full house. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to, but it may be, you know, for all I know. At any rate, I don't want to judge your equipment. Just saying, nice chef. The shirts, like I mentioned, we have black, we have red that came in. They were not able to get us an orange that would work. This is the red. Both the black and the red are a dry fit. They're very light, and they have the moisture-wicking material. And then they did not have dry fit in pink, but we did order pink with a buck. This is actually a small. As you can tell, this would not fit me. We ordered a couple of smalls, though not many. They are beefy tees. And we'll have all the pricing. I think they're all going to be $20 to make it easy, because most people are just giving us $20 anyway. The dry fits are going to be $20. The question is whether we do $20 on the pink ones. For you folks who need things shipped, I know a couple of folks have asked. It looks like the maximum shipping would ever be was like $15. But Cheryl's mm-hmm. taking care of all that sort of stuff. So once we have the information, we'll let you guys know, and we will set up a way to get those things shipped out to you. We will certainly have them at all the live events as well. So if you guys are interested, feel free to buy those. We love it when you guys rep the gear, so that's good stuff. With regards to sizes, we have mostly large up to 3X, because we found out, believe it or not, most of our listeners are not small. Who knew? So if you do need a smaller size than that, let me know and we'll figure something out, because my man Kevin what the hell is his stupid company name? First Promos or something like that could make sure that happens. Save me an exit. I'm not saving shit. $100 worth. Look at you. We'll have them with us, brother. Don't you guys that are regulars, you know we got you. Just make sure that we get together at the live event. We'll be good. So we'll make sure we'll take care of you. Kurt's buying all pink. Nice. Any female cut shirts? We do have some female cut shirts, and we can get some more if you're interested, Bucko Pat. And that does make sense given your figure, so that's good to know. Did I get kid sizes for Roman? No. So the pink actually came out very good. It's a good color. I'm still looking for an orange, to be honest, and we haven't found a very good orange color. So I mentioned the June 9th event. If you guys want to come out there, that event is on Facebook. It's also on our website. I put that up here tonight right before the show. That is going to be at the Wing House over on Hillsborough Avenue. And like I said, once I find out what the drink specials and the food specials are, I'll let you guys know what that is. And my hope is, I don't see Spent here yet. I texted her before the show to find, there she is. Spent's here. Late but present. It's good to have you, Spent. Let me see here. We will have all that stuff for you, as well as hopefully the calendar at the live show. You just missed the first 10 minutes, you know, that's all. That's all. But Roman's not here either. We talked about shirts, we talked about the live event, and we talked about those sorts of things. So we will make sure. I'm not going to show you. You missed it. Fuck you. That's what you get for being late. So, Buck shirt. Do I still have Mia's sound drop? You guys that are not old listeners will not remember this. I think I may have dropped. Oh, I do still have it. See if it works.
Yeah, watch it.
So, for you guys who don't know that, Dave Sanchez, my original co-host and all-around hell of a good guy, his daughter Mia, when she would say Buck shirt, this is what she said.
The bucket.
Now Mia is a very, very bright young lady. But my 1979 TV. You guys can all literally lick my balls about my TV. Absolutely. You guys are all welcome to come over and judge my man cave. Good Christ. That's just amazing. Anyway, I will show you guys the shirts one more time if I don't throw my back out. Hey, Roman's late, but he's here. Here is the pink shirt. This is a small one. It would probably fit Roman. This is, as I mentioned, the beefy tee. It is not dry fit. They did not have dry fit in pink. I'm wearing the black dry fit, which looks like a black t-shirt. Is it me or just repeating? That's funny, smart ass. I know, I shouldn't cover this for people who are late, but I have to. And this is the red. So, we'll have those with us. Anyway, My take right now, and I'm going to talk to Lee when he calls in about this, but the things that I want to talk about this evening primarily are going to be around the health of the guys that are coming back. So you got Revis, who's cleared to cut. You got AC, who's cleared to cut. It looks like Davin and Carl Nix are being held out of team activities, just like AC. That by team decision, right? So they're being cautious with those guys coming back. Now, cleared to cut is one thing. Cutting at full speed is another. Cutting at full speed with full complement is another. So it seems as though the team is being very cautious with those guys, which is good. It's nice to see them coming in healthy and ready to go. They say AC is ahead of schedule. One of the comments I thought was interesting that Coach Schiano said in his press conference was a comment about Daquan Bowers after coming back from the Achilles injury that he had, was that he had come back stronger in other ways, like his physical. Like, I thought he came back looking bigger. I told that to you guys on the show, and no one ever seemed to mention it. It wasn't that he was ever a small guy, but he came back looking much larger to me all around. So the thing he was mentioning was that AC came back in really good shape as well. So we'll see how he looks actually when we get to see him in training camp. And we'll talk to Lee and see how the guys look in drills with regards to those sorts of things as well. But Revis being able to cut is going to be interesting. The discussion about him learning the defense is good. You got Jonathan Banks who's got to learn the defense. Talent-wise, I don't think anyone is going to question the fact that we have done a great job of upgrading talent in most major positions. One of the areas that I'm definitely going to look at, I actually think thought it was toe, but it's a good question. And they said that whatever the hell it was some kind of Herculean effort for him to play through that injury last year. So I'll take a look. Considerable pain. Here's the article from TampaBay.com. Yeah, this is going to come up eventually, but you did. AC is at practice. He's just not doing full team drills, apparently. So, and that seems to be the case here with Nix and Davin as well. The plantar plate near the ball of the left foot is torn and needs surgery. Okay. Plantar plate, my guess is tendon across the heel. So if any of you have ever had plantar fasciitis, is very, very painful. They are ligaments across the heel. Okay, so this is a miserable, miserable injury. It supports the weight of the body and restricts dorsiflexion, while the main collateral ligament and the accessory collateral ligament, together referred to as the CLC, prevents motion of the transverse plate. So all of his body weight, which is non-trivial given the size of Mr. Nix, is a big deal. I figured as much spent, if you could reach out to him, that would be great. I can try and text him as well. So that you guys know what's going on, typically what happens is... Oh, I see. I'm sorry, guys. We got to figure out what's going on here with the... Here we go. We've got some folks in the chat room that is done by Ustream. And so the folks that are chatting in Ustream, we don't chat there. Good to have you guys there. I'm going to send you the link over in that link, if I'm allowed to where we actually chat. There we go. So now you guys who are over in Ustream who are trying to participate, it's good to see you guys over there. You're not stupid, Pat Donovan. It's just we don't use the chat room that's set up by Ustream because it sucks. So you guys can come over to this other one. So let me text Lee whilst doing the show and make sure that he is ready to go. Sorry for the delay, guys, but I have to do this so that we can make sure that Lee is good. Talk amongst yourselves. For you folks on the podcast, this is the kind of high-tech work that we do from time to time. And if, Lee, you're listening, then just call in 813-964-7364. All right, so he's been texted. He has been texted, dude. So we'll be talking primarily about OTAs when we get him on the phone. The QB controversy we'll continue to talk about because there are more quotes around there. Hey, Bob Ripperton, it's good to have you over there. Show prep is amazing. Hey, listen, Kurt. If I needed shit, I would go talk to my wife. I've already gotten shit for my television and now shit for show prep. We'll tune into your show next week and see how your show prep is. How's that? And please don't get butthurt and then sign off, which is what I would expect after that comment. The thing that I don't understand is how we still have the Josh Freeman flap. So I went back and listened to all of the quotes. And maybe we'll ask Lee. That's him calling in right now. Good evening. Is this Lee?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Lee. How are you doing? We've had all sorts of minor challenges this evening. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you doing tonight?
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, as always. It's always a pleasure to chat Bucks football with you and your listeners.
Well, it's good to have you. Again, we apologize. We didn't do our normal pre-work with you. But in the off-season, to be honest, it's just been a clusterfuck for us. So we're trying to get things back in order. Now, you guys, on the other hand, have been on top of the ball, as always. JoeBucksFan.com, been out at OTAs, at the rookie camp, and all that sort of thing. And we're going to use you sort of like our eyes and ears because we're not allowed at some of that shit. What have you been seeing? What's got your eyes going crazy? What's got your ears perked up? What are you seeing that we should know about?
Well, the thing that jumped out at me at practice the other day, aside from the very first snap, Akeem Spence and Jeremy Zuda went at it and went all WWE. The thing that jumped out at me was last year Shannon was hollering and screaming, and there was that going on as well. But Shannon didn't seem to be as vocal, as on top of things. He was involved. Don't get me wrong, there was some yelling and screaming from him, but it wasn't like chaos like it was last year. At least I didn't get that impression. There was more hollering and screaming than last year, but not from Shannon. It was more from his assistants, specifically Dave Wansett. Shannon was more of a overseer this year. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't hands-on. I'm not saying you didn't hear from him. You did hear from him, but it was a little bit different. Not so much you didn't hear from him as much as last year. It's almost like he was delegating screaming to his assistants. And oddly enough, the most vocal assistant out there was Dave Wanstead when he worked with special teams guys. And that really jumped out at me. Well, wow, special teams coach is really on these guys more than anybody else? And to backtrack a little bit, I got to talk to Shannon. Actually, at the combine, oddly enough, I rode up there on the airplane with him. It was just by coincidence, him and his coaching staff. And I asked Shannon, like, are you really just going to use Wansett as special teams coach? I know Wansett has a checkered past, and he's kind of a punching bag to critics. But at one time, he was a pretty decent defensive coordinator. And I literally asked Shannon these very words. I said, are you really just going to keep Shannon as a special teams coach? He's not going to be, have his hands involved in the defense and the input, and he's just going to be relegated to special teams? And Shannon said, yeah, he's going to be a special teams coach. He's going to be a damn good one. And I wrote before, and I wrote since I interviewed Shannon and asked him that. I just thought that was kind of a waste of Shannon. And like I said, I know there's critics of Shannon, of Wansett, et cetera, and I get that, but I just thought that was a waste of Wansett's talent to just have him as special teams coach. But, you heard him out there the other day. He certainly did, more than anybody else. But I got that impression. I also got the impression that it was really, really intense practice, especially early on. I mean, players were flying all over the place, unlike last year. Last year was like the players were getting used to Shannon, learning Shannon's ways, and they were sort of intense. They were running around. It was almost like hesitant, and if that makes sense, you were quick to move in between stations, quick to do whatever the coach told you to do, but there's a little hesitancy. This was a full-out sprint that I saw the other day, especially on the defensive side. These guys were intense, they were wasting no time, and they were hustling from the word go, and that really jumped out at me as well.
Well, it's interesting, Lee, to hear that, and I don't know whether it's that there's some familiarity with the system for the guys who've been there. I mean, I'm not sure if you saw a difference between the rookies and the guys who have been there, last year as well. But that intensity level is good to hear. We've had some comments in the chat room. If you could, and maybe it's our connection. We are using the internet and the cups and strings. If you could slow down a little bit, because you're giving us a lot of information, and folks really want to hear what you're saying, so I'd appreciate that. Now, I did have a couple of questions. It's good to hear that that's going on. I agree. I think it's hard to believe that Wanstead's going to be limited to special teams. Not that there's anything wrong with special teams. God knows you've got to have a good, strong special teams. But he's got so much talent. But it's almost like having Butch Davis just be a consultant, right? I mean, does anyone really believe he's just going to sit up there and watch film and not do anything? That doesn't make any sense.
I get the same impression. And like I said, when I asked Shannon about Wanstead being relegated to special teams, Shannon said, well, he's going to have his hands full. And I get that, but let's be honest, special teams is part-time.
Yeah. Now, I've got to talk about this because, you know, because apparently everyone wants to talk about it, which is amazing. There were some really good quotes from Coach Shiano this week that I thought would have put an end to this. What is your position on the Josh Freeman quarterback controversy, whatever the hell we want to call, is going on at the quarterback position here in Tampa Bay?
Well, as I wrote about 2 or 3 hours ago on JoeBuckSan.com, basically my last paragraph, sums up all the quote-unquote controversy. It's Freeman's job to win or lose. Freeman's future is in Freeman's hands. If Freeman goes out next year, or I should say this fall, throws 30 touchdowns, handful of interceptions, the Bucks are playing in January, maybe win a game or two in the playoffs, there's no way Freeman is leaving this team. Dominic would slap the franchise tag on him quicker than I would grab Rachel Watson if she was standing in front of me and standing in front of the team.
That's pretty quick.
Freeman's future is in Freeman's hands, and right now, as we speak, Mike Glennon is little more than a safety net. You know, if Freeman stinks up this coming fall, the Bucks will probably say, you know what, we'll fall back on Glennon, see what happens there. Right now, Glennon is nothing more than a safety net, and Shiano loves competition. And he's got himself in a little bit, I wouldn't call it trouble, but controversy, talking about Freeman and competition dating back to just after the last game of the 2012 season. But in Shiano's eyes, there's a cliche from John Kennedy. It's a cliche, but John Kennedy had a famous saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. If you listen to Shiano talk about competition, especially Monday, right after practice when he talked with the press, you know, he's adamant that in a sense, competition is a code word with Shiano that you and I would talk about as death. Death to Shiano is competition. If your second string is better than the second string or third string in years past and are pushing the starters are going to look in the mirror and like, no, I really like my job. I better start busting my tail or this guy breathing behind my back is going to get my job. Then I'm going to be on the sidewalk looking for work. That's Shiano's mentality. And it goes with every position. And, you know, by saying that, it's almost indirectly saying, well, Freeman wasn't at the top of his game. And, well, the numbers kind of bear that out. You could say that. So I think Shiano is, or excuse me, right now, Freeman is Shiano's guy. I really firmly believe that. Freeman just adamant, hey, I get along with Shiano. I talk to him every week. We don't just talk about football. We talk about life. And Shiano pretty much says the same thing about Freeman. But this fall, if Freeman stinks it up, he's not going to be Shiano's guy. If he, again, throws for 30 touchdowns and they're playing in January in the playoffs, of course he's going to be Shiano's guy. You could pick any quarterback out of the NFL, plug him into ex-coach, and the quarterback plays well, you damn right he's going to be that coach's guy.
You know, it's interesting.
So that's where I stand on it.
You made a parallel that I don't think I've heard someone say. It makes a lot of sense. It's funny because there's a lot of time spent right now, and we've done it certainly, about concern about depth. In fact, when I look at the next couple of questions, really they're thinly veiled questions about depth. And yet, when there's a discussion about competition, when it touches the quarterback position, it seems to be uniquely challenging. There would be no such argument if they brought in, insert big name defensive end, Freeney, mm-hmm. or any one of the guys that were available, who may not be available now, right? But that wouldn't have been a big deal, because then you're talking about a depth play, because there are positions that shuttle anyway. They're guys that share reps anyway, versus a quarterback who's going to take 98, 99% of the snaps, assuming he's healthy. You know what I mean? And that's really interesting, because you're right. If you have a great number two quarterback who's pushing number one, then that's terrific. What I don't quite understand is how they think a rookie is necessarily going to push Josh, because while you say that the numbers don't bear out that Freeman had a good season, he sure as hell wasn't a slouch last year. He had a couple of bad games, certainly. But he also had a hell of a run there in the middle and ended up with some pretty good stats. So it's very interesting, though, the comparison that you made to depth.
Yeah, essentially, competition in Shiano's vernacular is depth. He considers depth competition. And, you know, if you think about it that way, what Shiano is saying sort of comes out and makes sense. And that's the way I really think he means. He means competition is depth and vice versa. Depth is competition.
Right. Now, let's change off of this, even though this is the hot topic of the day, right? People like to talk about this, and it's always the case that the most popular guy in any city is the number two quarterback, right? So we'll move on past that. Guest 320 in the chat room says he had a couple of good games, and the rest range from bad to mediocre. I don't know that the data bears that out. We can go back and go into that after we get off the phone with Lee, guest 320. If you want to stay around, we can certainly talk about that. It is no surprise or no shock that I am a Freeman fan. I think the guy's got all the talent in the world. And actually, I think you said this in one of your articles, and maybe in the same article, Joe. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got to put it together consistently. And whether you point to the defense giving up last-minute drives in, I guess, four or five games last year that you could argue cost the game, you can't point to necessarily the last drive as the only thing, because had we had a two-touchdown lead, then it wouldn't have been an issue. Games are not won or lost in the last drive. But that's not what people said when he had all the comeback kid last drives 2 years ago. So it's stats, damn, liars, damn liars, and statisticians. Now, on a different topic, though, what part of this team are you as a fan and then you as a journalist most excited about right now?
Most excited about the defensive backfield. And man, is that a shock to say that now compared to 5 weeks ago? 5 weeks ago, I was, along with almost every Bucs fan, wondering what the heck is going on here, you got no safety out. Rodney Barber was a question mark. The corners were awful beyond words. And basically the only guy you had was Barron. Well, now, again, a big caveat, if Revis is healthy, now you've got Revis, now you've got Jonathan Banks, now you've got Deshaun Goldston in the backfield along with Barron. And Barron was talking about that Monday as well in the after practice. He's like, man, I'm lucky. First I had Barber. Now I'm working with Bolson. Now I'm working with Revis. This is great. I can learn from these guys. And so in a matter of 5 weeks, the Bucs went from they were the second worst defensive backfield in NFL history. And now you can make a point on paper, of course. You can make a point that they're the best defensive backfield in the NFL. And so that got me really, really excited. And Ted Ryan, the former defensive tackle for the Bears, he co-hosts Moving the Chains on Sirius NFL Radio. He told me this at Super Bowl Media Day, and I've heard him say this on the air before, that you can't crucify a defensive line if they're not getting sacked if the secondary couldn't cover, steak on crap, so to speak. So he believes that the defensive backfield, which now looks to be one of the best in the NFL on paper, is really going to help out the defensive front. You're going to get maybe a few more coverage sacks or coverage pressures, which were that didn't happen last year.
Right.
This year it very likely will happen. So that's got me really excited, defensive backfield. And obviously I'm curious to see if Reeves can bounce back to his previous form.
Well, I think everyone in Tampa is holding their breath about that, and certainly Mark Dominic above all, right? It's going to be the question, and that's where all of the prognostication was, is can a guy who's made a career out of being able to stay in the hip pocket of receivers in a league that pretty much stops you from doing anything as a defensive back, can he still do that coming back from his ACL? Is he going to come back the way Adrian Peterson did, or is he going to come back the way most humans do, which is a little bit less than you were when you went out? And that's going to make or break that call on the trade. And it's going to, whether he's all the way to Darrell Revis or not, he's going to be a far sight better than anything we've had there.
Oh, I think, I can't remember if it was Dominic or Shano. I want to say Shano said that 80% Revis is better than most corners. And I tend to agree. So you're right. 80% Revis is certainly better than Brandon McDonald, for example.
True. Maybe that's not fair to the young guy, right? But the point is, and here we go again, it's about raising the competition level and the talent level at all these positions, right? And that's the way every position is. And it is interesting, and we're going to go back to this because it's the analogy really holds true with every damn position except for quarterback, right? You could claim you want depth at quarterback, but do you? Because as soon as you actually have legit depth at quarterback, what do you have? You have a quarterback controversy. Because as soon as the number one does anything wrong, and I don't give a shit who the number one is, then they're calling for the number two, and that requires a whole different part of management. Now, I've asked you what you're most excited about. I, of course, have to ask you the converse. What are you least excited about and why?
I'm least excited about the playoff process. And I know that's going to get a lot of people hacked off.
About the what? I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. The what?
And I'm throwing Ira Coughlin this. And Coughlin was kind of taking me to task about this. This is the strongest I've seen in the NFC since Bill Walsh, Bill Parcells, and Joe Gibbs traveled the sidelines. The NFC East is incredible this year. And there's going to be good teams, very good teams possibly, that are going to be watching the playoffs from their couch. And so I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, that's got me bummed out about the Bucks, or I don't know if that actually qualifies for the question you were seeking, but if there's anything that's gotten me down, it's that. And I'm not saying the Bucks won't make the playoffs, but I'm just saying that the league is so strong, or excuse me, the conference is so strong, just about the only way to guarantee a playoff spot isn't going to be winning 11 games, it's going to be winning the division. And that's going to be kind of dicey. So, I mean, I love what the Bucks up front are tremendous. The running back position, I think, is going to be okay. Obviously, Doug Martin's great, but behind him, I think they'll be okay. Wide receivers, I like what they did there, building that back up. I guess if I had to point to a area of concern, I'm thinking linebackers, because I don't know what's, you know, Quincy Black got hurt, and some people argue that's a addition by subtraction. I don't agree with that because, you know, the best he played in his NFL career was last year. Oddly enough, he had some decent coaching. Oh, look what happened. So I don't know who, you know, how they're going to fill that hole. I love Mason Foster, but there is a degree of argument that he's not good on pass protection. And if he was, I think you're talking Pro Bowl material. That's how much I like him. So I don't deny that he's not the best at pass protection. I won't deny that. He needs some work there. So I guess if I had to point to an area, it'd be linebacker because, you know, that's the unknown about who's going to fill Quincy Black's position. Is it going to be Casillas? Is it going to be Adam Hayward, who, in my eyes, the only thing he's ever done that sticks out in my memory is he went MMA on Brian Cox on the sidelines last year.
Not that same bullshit. Now, I'll take that stuff from some guys, Lee, but I give you credit for being smarter than that. Adam Hayward, and I took shit from Mark Cook about Adam Hayward. I think anyone who watches football knows Adam Hayward is a really solid middle to upper middle tier linebacker. He's a team guy, and for you to call out the MMA thing with Brian Cox, who's being a complete dick, when this happened, if you watch the whole video, you know full well it wasn't all on Adam Hayward. When you see in training camp Adam Hayward separate Kellen Winslow by the face mask when he went after a rookie and squashed the whole thing, you know he's a team guy. Come on.
Well, you know, I'm sarcastic, of course, you know.
Right.
So, but Adam Hayward never impressed me. He's never done anything to impress me. And when the linebackers were stinking a couple of years ago, he wasn't on the field. So, you know, he really hasn't done anything in the past. He's a good special teams guy, but, you know, Dakota Watson, they're trying to get him on the field up until now, meaning training camp, or I should say OTAs, up until now, he's basically been a one-trick pony in the sense that he's a good pass rusher, but that's the only time they've ever used him as a pass rusher. I think they're trying to get him to be more of an all-around linebacker, and Terry Bone's trying to get him on the field. So it's really wide open between three guys, like Hayward, Casillas, who is the first time in years he's been healthy this time of the year, and Dakota Watson.
You know, it's interesting.
That's,
I think for quite some
the area that's got me concerned is linebacker.
For quite some time, folks have talked about Watson getting more playing time, and no one seemed to understand why he wasn't. Admittedly, he was small, right? But it was one of those things where you certainly thought, and I agree, that he was a one-trick pony. Could he go in there and actually have, you know, handle the run responsibilities? What was the thing that kept him off the field? And what we found out the first year of any significance anyway was that the linebacking coaching was just horrific, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, Quincy Black, we said that, you know, he was essentially stealing money when he got that contract because he was just horrible that year. Right. And was that an indictment on Quincy? Was that an indictment on the team? Well, probably a little bit of both. They both kind of sucked pretty badly. Last year, when he was playing, he played pretty solid football. Even people who were detractors could not go after Quincy Black. He played good football. When he got hurt, the linebackers took a hit. Right? And, of course,
you're
we hope Quincy's
right.
doing well. But
you're absolutely right.
I agree.
He got coached up. Dominic took a beating, an absolute beating for that contract. And I was one of them. Hand up. I was one of them. I'm raising my hand.
Yep.
But you know what? That contract didn't look so silly once he got coached up last year by Cox and those guys. So, yeah, maybe Dominic was on to something there. So I absolutely agree with you there, Derek. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, he wasn't as bad as what we all thought he was. Maybe he wasn't as good as the contract.
Yeah, and maybe it's just a matter of a mismatch, right? The talent was there, but they didn't have the talent lined up with the coaching from a timing perspective. But off of linebackers, which I agree, I'm concerned. I think sometimes it's the absence of information that we have to be afraid of. And I think sometimes, in a lot of cases, the absence of information leads to the speculation that we get in some journalism right now. But that's probably a topic for another day. The thing I want to turn to now, you've seen some of these young guys, you've seen them moving around in shirts. Who is the draft pick that we should be most excited about? And you can pick a predictable one. You can say Jonathan Banks if you want to, right? But I mean, who is the guy that you're looking at going, oh man, wait till these guys see him in training camp?
Spence. He's just a monster of a strong guy. You know, I'm not saying Spence is going to be the next Warren Sapp. No way in heck is he going to be next Warren Sapp. But here's a guy, again, the first play of OTAs, and him and Zuter are going after, and he said after practice, I wasn't going to take that crap. You know, some guy wasn't going to try to get over on me just because I'm a rookie. And so I kind of like that attitude. But you know what? He reminds me of Davin Joseph. Davin Joseph has a little bit of a mean streak in him, but you get him off the field, the guy has a perpetual smile on his face. And he's a good dude. I think you've met him before a few times, Derek. You know, Davin's just a good dude.
Oh, yeah.
Akeem Spence reminds me of Davin Joseph. I mean, he's not a guy you want to tangle with on the field. Once you take your helmet off and he gets off the field, he's the coolest guy in the world. He really reminds me of Davin Joseph because of his personality. He's got a mean streak, and Shiano said he, right now, as we speak, he may be the strongest guy in the NFL. That's how much of a monster he is. And he's not a pass rusher. Not a pass rusher at all, but he's a Roy Miller clone in the sense that he's going to be that tilted nose. And I noticed earlier you talked about the Buck Nation's article about the tilted nose. So if people want to read what the Bucks kind of hope for Akeem Spence, they might want to read that tilted nose article.
Yeah.
And that's basically what Akeem Spence is. And he's got jumped out at me more than anybody because of, you know, that fire he had on the football field and his physical talent. And he just, again, he reminds me of Davin Joseph. He gets off the football field, he's always got a smile on his face, just a really cool dude. But I wouldn't want to tangle with him on the football field.
Well, I tell you, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Spence is getting the press right now, and there's a lot of pressure on whoever takes over that nose tackle role, right? Because when they...
Landry or guy we got from Philly, he's a guy you might want to, you know, we're forgetting about him because, you know, he was a second level, if you want to call it that, free agent. He wasn't a sexy signing.
Right.
Almost a back, back page signing, almost forgettable right before the draft. So there's a guy, another guy to look out for. If he can stay healthy, that's a guy that very well could be starting as well.
Well, and what's funny is that was the next question. Who's the free agent? You know, obviously Revis is an easy pick, so I'm going to take him off. Who's the guy that we signed? Because we've got a particular listener who's all over Paige, and apparently there's been a lot of noise about Paige coming in. Who's the guy that's making your eyebrows raise on the free agency side?
Well, and it's not so much that he's showing something to me. It's that I'm hearing whispers from some well-placed people at One Buck Palace. If I remember correctly, his last name is Melton. Cornerback from Northern Illinois. I've been told by a few people, you might want to start watching him. You might want to start watching him. And I can't remember the last time that people from, you know, at the Bucks were telling me about outside of Leonard Johnson. Same thing, I heard the same thing about Leonard Johnson. But Leonard Johnson, people pretty much knew about him because a lot of people thought he was going to go in the fourth or fifth round. And when he was not drafted, a lot of people, Gil Brandt, for example, Peter Schrager, Fox Sports, said he was the top free undrafted free agent. So it wasn't like Leonard was under the radar. People knew about him, local kids. He was on people's radar. But this Melton guy from Northern Illinois, I don't know anybody's radar he was on. And I had two or three people at One Buck Palace that might want to look at him. Might want to think about doing stories on him. He's a guy you want to keep in the back of your head. Now, they're not saying he's going to make the team, but they're saying if someone does, he may be the guy.
Well, I'll tell you, if he does make a splash, we're not going to hear the end of it from Ryan Sudol. Northern Illinois is going to be in the house full time. So, at any rate, so one last question for you, Joe. Or I hate calling you Joe because it's so not right, right? So, but at any rate, Lee. Shit! Now I forgot the question. How did I do that?
Uh-oh.
I just completely had a brain fart. There was a final question I was going to ask you. We're talking about free agents. Yeah, I got nothing.
And a cornerback.
Oh, no, there we go. I got you. We got a lot of folks who are really interested in Crabtree. Crabtree's getting a lot of press right now, turning some heads. Tight end got a lot of press before the draft as well. There were a lot of folks who thought we would take a high draft pick on a tight end, which I happen to hate. What have you seen so far out of Crabtree? What are your thoughts about Crabtree and the tight end position in general?
I really think he's a sleeper. I really do. Now, I had spoken with a couple guys that covered the Packers, and he was, let's be honest, he was in a log jam. I mean, not too many tight ends are going to get playing time when JerMichael Finley is the number one tight end on the depth chart, to be honest. So he didn't get a whole lot of playing time, and he largely got tagged with being a solid blocker, and he is. But there were a few times that he showed some flashes like, wow, this guy could actually go over the middle. This guy could actually split the defense. This guy, there's some talent here. But, again, the Packers, they could only pay him so much because they were going to pay him a boatload of money to be a backup to JerMichael Finley. So they let him, I think he was able to sign him for double what the Packers were willing to offer him. Now, Packers are going to offer him, bare minimum, basically. Not much more than bare minimum. Well, was it 150 grand or something like that? And the Bucks offered him not quite a quarter. I believe it was under a quarter, if I remember correctly. So it was almost double. And Shannon even said in his press conference the other day, it's like, they had to dig deep in the film archives, but they found some plays where they're like, whoa, he really flashed. And that's kind of what the Packers guys were telling me. So that, I think, is going to be a really, really big sleeper. He's already got the street cred as being a tremendous blocker, so that's number one. So number two, he's kind of off the radar as a pass catcher, as a receiver. So that will be something to look for, when training camp comes around, it's open to the public, and, when the preseason schedule starts, that might be a guy to look out for. Obviously, I talked about Melton as a rookie, but as a veteran, that might be a guy to look out for because I'm hearing good things about him as a receiver. So that might be a sleeper right there to look out for. People might want to have an interest in monitoring how he does through August.
Well, I certainly appreciate you taking the time out tonight, Lee. It's always good to have you on the show, and obviously folks can get a lot of your content at joebucksfan.com. How do they find you on Twitter and all of the other social media outlets that you probably... I see you very active on Twitter, typically at a local watering hole.
Yeah, what a shock, right? Yeah, oddly enough, my Twitter handle is joebucksfan, and that's very easy. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, but you for whatever reason you can't find me on Twitter, go to joebucksfan.com and there's links. You click on Twitter, a Twitter icon, it'll take you there. So it's not all that difficult. But, and of course, joebucksfan.com. And we have a Facebook page that I'm not very active on at all, and that is facebook.com/, get ready for it, joebucksfan.
There's something to be said for consistency, Lee.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks again, sir. We definitely appreciate it. I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon. We've got to get together on June the 9th. You're welcome to come out and have a beverage with us. We're talking about the season. We'll probably talk some Bucks football, and it's an excuse to go look at Wing House Girls. I know that they're not one of your sponsors. You're a Hooters guy, but you can wear a mask or something.
Oh, I'm not anti-Wing House whatsoever, especially the ladies. Don't get me wrong, man. I got to say this look at a chance. You do a hell of a... I know you're not making any money doing this, Derek. You're doing this because you love the Bucks and you love football. And it's really, really tremendous that you give fans another outlet to reach out and just... And how can I say? Feed their passion, feed their love for the Bucks. And you also do charitable work as well. And I just think that, what you do is really, really cool. Not many people would. You spend money doing this, man. You spend money to feed your passion for the Bucks, not just buying beers and buying tickets to games, but with the software and the hardware that you buy and your time. Time is money. And I really think that's very cool that you give Bucks fans just yet another outlet to enjoy football, enjoy the NFL, and enjoy the Bucks.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and to be honest, it's been a privilege to do it. I guess this is 7 years
club,
now.
Right?
It's all about a good time, and what's amazing is what we've done, and Lee, you've seen this at training camp and at some of our get-togethers, and you really should drag your ass out to our tailgates. what we've ended up with is a group of people that share that same kind of passion, and it's really pretty amazing. We've got people in, I guess, 37 different countries, and that all do the same kind of thing. And it's tremendous to see the people who care about the Bucks that I don't know that our friends at One Buck Palace, as you call it, know. So it's good things. Thanks for the kind words. Lee, keep doing a great job, you and Steve, over at joebucksfan.com. And I'm sure we'll see you again very soon.
All right, have a good one, man.
All right, man, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Lee with JoeBucksFan.com. As always, full of information. Guys, hopefully you guys were able to pick up that stuff. He did slow down for us towards the end of the interview. So, and it is our eighth season. I always screw it up. It's one of the many things I always screw up. If I did better prep, I would probably have that written down somewhere, but I don't. So, I'm just horrible with dates. I'm lucky if I remember my birthday. So, it's a miracle. So, I do know there was a lot of discussion in the chat room during the Josh Freeman conversation. Guest 320, I was not trying to be dismissive of you, nor do I think being dismissive is fair. I mean, just because I happen to be a proponent of Freeman as a quarterback doesn't mean that I think there's not a very solid argument that could say that he's not. And I think that the point you brought up, it was very fast, Kurt. I totally agree. But Lee speaks like that. It's good stuff. But he did slow down just a little bit. The point that I was making, or the point that you were making, 320, I believe, and I really have you be a named guest, but that's okay. Chat roll is not the best chat tool. It's just better than the piece of shit that Ustream gives us. The point you're making about mediocre is better than erratic, or that's not the correct word, but up and down. That's really an interesting point, right? And so I was thinking about that while Lee was talking. And certainly the up and down nature that Josh showed last year is not good. And that's a very good point you make. Mediocre has won Super Bowls, right? And a lot of you guys brought up the point about Trent Dilfer and some other very mediocre quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, got the rings, because Kurt was bringing up a point, which is essentially, in this league, it is all about the ring. It's about nothing else. Dan Marino was a terrific quarterback, and he did not get a ring, so it didn't matter. When you look at Pro Football Focus, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 positive, which means green games over, I think they're 1.5 is their green. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 negatives, and then 2 neutrals. The problem we had with Josh is he finished with 4 negative games in a row. So that trail off was a real significant problem. Now, there's certainly an argument that could be made about why those things happen, right? And when we went through each week last year and broke down the tape, I didn't feel... There were games where Josh looked phenomenal. There are times where Josh didn't look good, and sometimes where he looked absolutely crappy. But typically, when you went down and broke it down, there were breakdowns all over the field. Now, what I read this week was kind of interesting, that there have been people that have looked at the film, and I'm going to end up going back and looking at Game Rewind. I made sure that my account was active as well. That he was not making the proper reads. Now, this is a concern that we've had about Josh for quite some time, and not necessarily proper reads, though reading defense has been one of the things he gets tabbed with, and it's hard to tell, because you never know, right, when the quarterback makes his read, when he steps to the line, he identifies the mic, he identifies the safeties, assumes coverage based on position, and then starts the play and goes into the play, he's going to read, okay, if he's got, you know, 2 safeties high, he's going to make his call about what's going on based on where they are in the field and try and determine what the actual defense is. We never know whether he was right, because you never know. There's no icon over his head that says, oh, he's reading this as cover 2, or he's reading this as cover 0, and then you find out what it actually was. Is anyone losing... You guys having a problem with the audio out there? I think everything's fine on my end. At any rate, I got to go back and watch the tape a little bit more. I look at the quarterback position, 320. This is why I am such an ardent proponent for this. Is it's so rare to find a quarterback who can do all the pieces parts that when you get that, the work is to keep them going. Right, and get them to that next level. And when you have 4 different coordinators in however many years, you just can't do that. That lack of continuity is a problem. So, you guys in the chat room, if you're having a problem, please do let me know. Let me know what's going on with that. Everyone's got technology solutions, clearly. If you guys have technology solutions, you can hit me up about that. We can talk about it. Bright House Light getting their payment in EVT. That's funny. Audio is great according to Shuck, so... Okay. I can no longer read the chat room if it's not going to be about the Bucks. So I will go back to what I was talking about. So when a QB perspective, that's where I go into it. But your point 320 is really an interesting one about the consistency versus the mediocrity, and that's really what a guy like Dilfer rode to a trophy. Hogan Freeman raises his hands and smiles when something goes wrong. I want him to get vocal and work this shit out, says Will Hoyler. So that's the other interesting piece. And 320, I didn't actually compare him to Eli. It's a fair comparison, but that wasn't my comparison. It was another one of the people in the chat room. My comment was more about where the negative grade outs came from, whether they were on Josh, and certainly it's a shared responsibility. But my point was actually that I thought you had a good point about the inconsistency versus mediocrity. For the record in the chat room, because apparently it's a topic of conversation, no, I have Verizon Fios, and everything on my end seems to be fine. So typically this is going to be a Ustream issue. We're using Ustream because it's free. So that's it. Yeah, Chuck, that's the point. No one seems to understand that, but that's okay. It's all good. Anyway, so Lee brought up some good points. I totally disagree about Adam Hayward. Do I think Adam Hayward is a starter in the NFL? No, I think he's far better than a lot of people give him credit for, but I agree that I think that the linebacker position is the one I'm most concerned about. I think a lot of folks, Pat Donovan and Will were the ones who compared him to Eli, guess 320. I think that a lot of us have wanted to see Dakota Watson get that additional playing time, and we're going to get a chance to see it. The question will be whether he can hold up or not, and I just don't know whether or not that's going to be the case. I hope it is, because I'd like to see him on the field. I think he's a dynamic playmaker. And more importantly, and this really was one of the things that came across in the conversation as well, the coaching staff of the linebacker seems to be able to get high level of play out of individuals, right? And so we may have had some good clay. There may have been good stuff in the cupboard, and we just couldn't do shit with it. And now, if we can get that out of them, then that's going to be tremendous. Question from Chef Red, and I know I've got a question from Bucko Pat in the mailbag as well, so I'll make sure I get that, Bucko Pat. I'm not ignoring you. Where does Free compare to other Bucks quarterbacks currently? Top 2, top 5, top 10? So with the playoff situation, it's hard to get him much higher than top 5, I think. I think talent-wise, physical talent-wise, he's top 1. Right? I don't think there was a quarterback that we had. Doug Williams was probably as physically gifted as Josh. Kurt has absolutely no respect for Freeman's game, apparently. I saw him chatting in that thread, which is fine. Kurt's a very informed fan, like most of you guys are. I'm not quite sure why he'd have him barely top 5. Who are the 5 that you rate above him, Kurt? That would be interesting to find out. By the way, the phones are open if you guys want to call in. 813-964-7364. 813-964-7364. You can feel free. And, Kurt, you're welcome to call in as well if you want to tell me who the 5 are that you've got above him. I'm assuming Brad Johnson is there. Who else would you have up there? Doug Williams, probably. You're not going to put Sean King up there. You're not going to put Steve DeBerg up there. You're not going to put maybe Jeff Garcia up there? Are you going to put Jeff Garcia up there without the run rate? I don't know. I mean, I don't know who else you're going to put there. So I'll let you do that. As long as David doesn't go down, we'll be fine. Mason is playing much better, guess 320. I don't know who the hell you are, but you're absolutely right. This is phenomenal. Now, Will Hoyler says we should just get down to brass tacks. Bucks have a playoff team without the depth. With little injuries, Bucks should make the playoffs. That's it. Using one of the very common ending to sentences that's supposed to make what you say the fact rather than your opinion. That's it, period. All of those other popular ones. Lots of people are talented on paper. The Eagles were very, very talented and did shit. Right, you can have the greatest groceries. In fact, the team that I'm helping coach right now, high school team, we looked at the roster, and we're talking amongst ourselves, and the comment was made that it could potentially be the best defense in the state. And my comment was simple. Players alone do not a defense make. Right, just because you have great shit in the cupboards doesn't mean you can cook. It's the inverse of the Parcells, right? So great coaches can take shitty ingredients and make a great team out of them. The inverse doesn't happen. So we'll see. Now, I happen to think we have a good set of coaches here. Right? Buck for Life does make a good point about Garcia's wife. She was hotter than fire, as the youth say. The throwing Samoan definitely is not in the top five. Kurt, have you put your list in there, the four that were above him? I don't know if I saw it, if you did. So, no, I mean, I would probably put him, talent-wise, I think he's number one. I think I put Doug Williams in there, but Doug Williams I may be more biased than I am with Freeman about, because Doug Williams was a quarterback that I came of age with as a Bucs fan. Right? I mean, we got the team in 76 when I was four, because I'm old. Right? And by the time I got to the point where I was really paying attention to the game, we were Doug Williams heavy. We had gone worst to first. This was phenomenal in my mind. I was ecstatic. Right? And then we hit a dearth of just horrific quarterbacks. So, you can drop in the Jeff Garcia's wife picture. Nice. So, at any rate, again, I don't know who those four are. I think that the depth is much better than folks believe. There was another comp. Stats not everything. So far, Josh is 27 and 37. Okay. So, those are two statements. I don't disagree with either one of them. I still don't know what that means. Are you saying that he's not a top five quarterback? He's not a top two quarterback? Not quite sure. Spurrier? Come on. Really? Johnson and Williams, 1-2. Okay, that's cool. Steve Young, you're out of your fucking tree. Steve Young was not a great quarterback here. He was a great quarterback when he got to San Francisco and eventually got to play. We let go of Steve Young because the idiots who were running the ship here said that Steve Young couldn't throw the football. Garcia was one tough son of a bitch, no doubt. Parnell Dickinson. Nice reference, Zeller. Shannon Company doing good things. Not perfect, but good and hopeful. I have very little to bitch about with the coaching staff, to be quite honest. I am not a huge fan of the play calling I saw on offense last year, nor of some of the stunts I see on defense, but they seem to grow. And this was something when Steve White was on last time we talked about. The growth. When you're willing to admit that something didn't work and adjust. Now, I saw that more on the offensive side of the ball than I did on the defensive side of the ball. So that's what got me a little bit concerned. If you're going to try something, that's fine. And if it works, great, you go with it. But if it doesn't, then you have to adjust. Chris Chandler. Oh, good Lord. This is horrible. But so that, you know, 320, that's my hope this year, is that with another year under their belt, with this staff moving forward, with the loss of P.J. Fleck, but with Bob Boston having another year under his belt and just being a freaking miracle worker last year with that offensive line, it will be very, very interesting. How about this? In Freeman's 7 years of football since college, Free has two winning seasons. Interesting. Interesting data. I mean, like I said, the stats, we can all paint stats, and I do it. I'm just as guilty as everybody else is, right? When I evaluate quarterbacks, it's always the same. That's why, and Spent brought it up, I think, 3 weeks ago. You know, I was one of the only people that thought McCown was a decent quarterback, and I still think that he was a decent quarterback. Now he's built out of toothpicks and those legs, and that ended up being his undoing. Eric Page guy's up in here. Way to be back. I asked Lee from Joe Bucks fan if he had seen anything on your boy Page, and he didn't say anything about it. But is Freeman better than Romo? I think that fundamentally, yes, but Romo's gotten better results, it would appear. So it's hard to argue with that. But DeBerg. DeBerg was a functional quarterback, right? He was the very definition. He was the very definition of the mediocre quarterback that Guest 320 is talking about, I think. And in some ways, very much like a Brad Johnson. Oh, do I have that dump? Thank you. Who said that? Stats are for losers. Bucktastic. I think I may have that still. Son of a gun. See, I need a producer that has the soundboard here. I don't know if I still have it anymore. Oh, hold on, guys. Sorry for you you new folks, you don't know what this is. No, I don't have it. I do have this, though. Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, that's going to bust everything. Okay. Oh, well. I must have dumped all the Raheem quotes. This will arguably be the first season that Freeman has had nearly as much talent around him as Romo. And so that's the other good point. When you talk about quarterbacks, it's tough to do the eval because it really does matter a lot about what they have around them. There are some quarterbacks who can get the job done regardless of the talent around them, which is amazing. No one defined a drink word as far as I knew. It was too long. The moment was lost, I know. It did freak you out. Guest 320, you are amazingly level-headed. I wish you would get a name so I know who the hell you are, and I hope you come back. That's not a disservice or discredit to anyone else who's in the chat room. Appreciate all of you, especially Buck for Life, Will Hoyler, Chef Red 75, my man Kurt, Bucko Pat, Bucktastic, Skip Brown, Mr. Martin Miggs, Richard Zeller, Ulysses, I have no idea. Ulysses Saucedo. I apologize if I mispronounce that. I do the best I can. B. Shuck, Spent, Roman, Fuckboy, Jonathan Miles, Bob Ripperton, Robert Wolf. Real names. It's weird to see people with real names in here. Jackie Williams, Pat Donovan, Captain Reno, B. Wall Street, and Guest 320 and Guest 5. So, yeah, it definitely have you guys back there. As I said earlier, I have great talent around number 5 now. That's true. I did throw it out, Will, but it was still a good quote. Is it going off air on Ustream for you? Buckfell, if you guys are having... Hey, I do want to know... if you guys are having issues with Ustream, please do send me a note and let me know what the problem is, because everything on my side seems to be fine. So that's something we'll have to investigate. So, all right, well, that's really all I want to talk about tonight. I don't have anything else to talk about. I wasn't at OTA, so I can't cover that. I want to remind you guys that we are looking for those things. Oh, look at this Eric Page guy. Good God. I appreciate your quoting Joe Bucksman, but Joe Bucksman is two people, Lee and Steve. I had Lee on tonight. He didn't say anything about it. So that's not to say that your guy Page isn't doing great things. I know that. You must be his agent. That's what I suspect. You're his agent. You're trying to pump that contract up. Some video dropouts of the issue. It's interesting, and it would be interesting to see who's having the dropout. It's repeatedly causing a problem. So I'll run some tests. We'll figure that out. We'll get that fixed. Reminders about what's coming up. There is no Ustream bill because I'm using the free one. So if anyone wants to sponsor us for a non-free Ustream account, hit me up at questions@whatthebuck.net. The minimum of that is $100 a month. So anyone who wants to write that check, feel free to do it. The better one is $2.99 a month, and I'm open to that too. So if you guys want to do that, or your company wants to sponsor What the Buck and get us on a paid Ustream account, by the way, that won't fix that problem, but it would still be cool. So... yeah, and so for those of you who are getting the ads, that's how they support the free version, and if you use Mozilla, it'll block that out. Wish the Bucks open up OTAs to the media. Well, they open it up to the media, I'm just not legit media. So that's why Joe Bucks Fan and Pewter Report and those guys are there. And I don't know how long they're there. I know during the season they're only open to a small amount of that practice. I know you're not his agent, I'm just kidding, clown. I think that OTAs and the rookie camp were both open full, almost like training camp if you were legit media or whatever. So, yeah. So, you know, we get temporary media credentials. We'll see what credentials we get this year. My man John Grella left. Liked him a lot. Whenever we started the 3 hours. When there's 3 hours of shit to talk about, you guys know that. If there's stuff to talk about, I'll keep talking. The fact is, in the off season, there's just not that much to talk about because I'm not a big fan of speculation. I'm not going to talk about, I don't like it when Josh frowns when something happens. I don't like it when he wears his socks high on his knees because every time he does that, something bad happens. That's fucking bullshit. It doesn't mean anything. Right? These guys are professionals. They are top one-tenth of 1% of the people in the world who do this thing they do. That's like the comment about needing someone to push them. Guys, I just don't buy into that shit. You don't need anyone to push you. Your job depends on this stuff. You think that Mike Glennon is scaring Josh Freeman from a talent perspective? No, he's not. What scares Josh Freeman is he hasn't been consistent, as you guys said before. Right? Only a day out of the three from the media? That's interesting. Like I said, I haven't checked it out because I know that I'm not on there, so it doesn't matter. But, and I know they've got to be careful about how much they show. But I know I'm a junkie, and when training camp comes around, as soon as they open the fence, I'm there. So, and I appreciate that you like hearing me talk. Talk religion and politics. We can do that all day long. Nice. Final note, and you guys heard this twice at the beginning if you're here early. I appreciate everyone who did join tonight. Pat Donovan, what was that? Thank you for what? I don't know what, Pat, I don't know what you're thanking me for, but that's cool. You're welcome. for those of you who are asking about the shirts, we do have shirts. I'm wearing the black one. Leadership South. Wow. Wrong chat room. I'm wearing the black one. This is a black dry fit. We have red dry fit as well, which is a red version of this black shirt, as you probably put together. And then we have pink beefy tees, because they didn't have a pink dry fit available. So we'll put some information out about how you get that as well. I've been saying the Push Freeman thing is bullshit for a while now. Oh, that's what you got. I see you don't get to say bullshit because you're, again, a legit thing. Scaring me from a goofy-looking bastard perspective. Not sure what that's a reference to either. Oh, your question, Bucko Pat. Sorry about that, brother. Let me get to your question. Bucko Pat actually submitted a question via the email, which is good. Here is Pat's question. Ray J upgrades. Since Tampa hasn't been awarded a Super Bowl recently, do you feel that Ray J needs upgrades to get another Super Bowl, and what upgrades do you feel it needs? You know, the Super Bowl thing is kind of interesting. I don't know that they necessarily do need any upgrades. It's a beautiful stadium. It's still considered one of the best stadiums in the country, and more importantly than that, the weather here, right? Miami and Tampa both benefit from the fact that we have gorgeous weather, and that's going to become a real serious issue. The wing out, hey, believe me, oh, I didn't show you this. So someone asked us, let me get back to this in a second, Bucko Pat, but that question bears an answer. There were two things I mentioned at the very beginning about the shirts. One, we noticed that most of the listeners of the show are not small, and so we didn't get a lot of small shirts. We did get a deep V-neck black, which you guys will look, and let me pull up what this looks like in gray. You'll probably remember our friend Jillian modeling this last year, the deep V. Actually, that's more of a swoop neck. This is a V. And then we got some tanks, some black tank tops as well. These are all small sizes, and these are for models. So, whether they're Wing House girls or whether they're just randoms, we're going to find some way to get that done. What it needs and what the NFL will say it needs is probably two different things. We didn't win any of the two Super Bowls were yesterday. True. They won't upgrade for, you know, can you interview the models? No, you can't. Or you might be able to. I don't know. If you bring them, you could. And no, Leadership South, you should not be in charge of the models because I've seen your taste, sir. I don't know what gets you a Super Bowl. I know that when the NFL has their fun, and Cheryl or Spent and I did some research on this when people were bitching about city investing in a stadium. Typically, the NFL is going to invest as well, and then normally when you either build a new stadium or you do huge improvements to a stadium, it's almost like the carrot they give you is that they're going to give you a Super Bowl. The Bucks or the Tampa Bay area has done very well in Super Bowls. So I don't really know, Bucko Pat. I'm certainly not an expert in it. I don't know that I care. If I'm going to go to a Super Bowl, I don't really care where it is. In fact, I have no problem with it being in New York. I think logistically it's going to be a challenge, the same way Dallas was, just because the weather that occurred, right? When that snow happened, everyone was all butthurt about it. I happen to love outdoor. I hate dome stadiums. I hate retractable roof stadiums. I want it when it's hot. I'd like it to be hot. When it rains, I want it to rain. And by God, when it snows, I want it to snow. It's part of the game. And I absolutely hate that people want to make this game more clinical, right? It just makes me sick about it. So, anyway, maybe it is about the owner's connections. I'm not sure. I know that, it doesn't affect me. So, Bucko Pat, the stadiums I've been to, the only stadium that I've been to that I thought was nicer than ours, and actually the only thing that was nicer was their club section was in Denver. Their club section was great. Absolutely great. So, if there are not other... Hey, Animal just showed up. Hey, Animal, it's good to see you, brother. And good to see Leadership South in here. It's frozen. I'm telling you guys, I think that that is part of the game. I absolutely do. Bucko Pat, or Pat Donovan, then get on a plane, you lazy bastard. You're real media. Go to the Super Bowl wherever it is. You're a big 620 guy. Make that shit happen. You're the most important guy in the chat room right now. I took the donate button down. It wasn't getting much use anyway, so we're going to try and go a different direction. Buckboy, I appreciate you even asking, though. I just got an email from someone as well about the sponsorship package, and I can certainly send you what our sponsorship packages are. They are tied typically to the tailgate because that's the best way you guys can get sort of exposure, but also to the website as well. If you're interested in donating in some other capacity, drop me a note at questions@whatthebuck.net, and I'll hit you back. Again, thanks, Buckboy, for even asking. That's very kind of you. What about Casillas' size related to playing the Sam? What do you think? You know, I haven't paid much attention to Casillas because I haven't had to yet, and I don't judge based on size. And I know that's a joke waiting to happen, so feel free to make those jokes. I've seen small guys play over themselves. I've seen big guys play down. What I want to see, and this is one of the things that I've said from the very beginning, I never make any judgments. I never make any assertions. I don't go out on a limb until I get to see people at training camp. I want to see these guys when they hit. And Animal, we covered Claiborne a little bit at the beginning. Apparently he's ahead of schedule in the rehab stuff. When I spoke to him, I guess it was 2 months ago, he wasn't allowed to twist his knee yet. He wasn't allowed to do that. But now he is, and apparently he's doing very, very well. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see what they're expecting the Sam to do. My guess is no, but we'll have to see. So, too easy of a side shot. It was too easy, Leadership South. I agree. But I had to put it out there. So, at any rate, we should be live again next week. I suspect it's going to be Wednesday. We'll probably make Wednesday just the night to happen. We're not going to I'm not going to talk about Rondé. To be honest, I think Rondé's discussion has already happened. I think the only interesting discussion is whether he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Could you throw out some tailgating info? I'm trying to tailgate with you guys every home game this year. Yeah, absolutely. So we tailgate the same spot. If you go to the What the Buck page, there's a tab for tailgating. The location is there. We, at this point, are going to be in the same location. If something changes, we'll let you know. Tailgating with us is very simple. It's a family reunion for family you haven't met yet. There is no explicit charge to tailgate with us other than you need to pay to park somewhere. You can park with us if you want to. We don't really care. Our tailgating is by far the best tailgating in the area. Chef Red does an amazing job, Captain Reno and Bones and the whole crew that do most of the setup to make our place look the way it does do an amazing job. The crew of Blackbeard's Revenge bring their pirate ship from time to time. Every once in a while we have a live band. We usually have 50-50 raffles as well as item raffles and then donations. So it's a pretty amazing event. There have been some things done on Tailgate 32, a video of our tailgate area. And you can certainly participate. So it is it's a great time. We'd love to have you out there. So if you're interested, let us know. It's easy to get to and easy to participate in, and we're looking for more people who want to actually participate. Eric Page, the drum is being beat. I'll tell you what, if I get to training camp, be Wall Street. Are you local, be Wall Street? Let me know. Are you a local guy? I'm waiting. I know there's a delay here, so I've got to wait for an answer. I'm going to wait for his answer to see what's going on, because I want to know if he's local. Because if he's local, I want him to go to training camp, because I'll be at training camp every day that I can be there. I know I've got to go to Canton, so I'll be out for that Thursday to Sunday, but I will be there every day I can. And if I go to training camp and your boy Paige looks like dog shit, I am going to give you a heaping pile of crap for it. Probably not, but it'll be fun anyway. So if you are local, get out there to training camp. That's another message I want to send to you guys. If you are local or you can get local, if you want to take a vacation around training camp. It is by far the best thing you can do. New York, crap. If you can get down for training camp, it's worth it. If you're an autograph person, it's the best place. Now, Roman would be the king of autograph information, but from what I can see from the outside looking in, it looks like the best place to get autographs if that's your thing. But more than that, it's a great way to get up close and personal with the team. So, with that said, June 9th, get out to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthebuck. Follow us on Twitter, @whatthebuck. And make sure if you are local and you want to attend that live event, it's June 9th. You can come out there. We can talk about football. We can have some beers. We can look at Wing House Girls and maybe get them to model some of our stuff. Live band is booked for the home opener against the Saints. That is Jaded. They were absolutely awesome. They were awesome last year, and all we can hope now is for the no rain. Animal says, when are you going to be in the Hall of Fame? I'm going for the Hall of Fame game. I was inducted in the Fans Hall of Fame. It's not the same thing. It's done at Canton, but it's not in Canton. They really don't have a dedicated area for fans there. So, at any rate, thanks for tuning in, guys. Sorry about the technical issues. Like I said, drop me an email and tell me what you were having from technical issues perspective, because I need to figure out what that is, because everything on my side looks good. So I'll make sure that we get to the bottom of that and see what's going on. We'll talk about the themes for the games as well. Thanks for joining. The jelly drive, what was it, 800-something pounds? It was. There won't be a jelly drive. See, you're making a joke, and I was being all serious. The peanut butter drive was a huge success. Spent posted that up there. It was tremendous. Kurt's talking about jelly for the peanut butter. God damn it. I just got suckered in by Kurt. Well done, sir. Well done. At any rate, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again. I'll put up the announcement. We will be back in here next week, Wednesday, 9 o'clock, talking about whatever the hell we can figure out to talk about. Until then, have fun. 846 pounds of peanut butter went to Feeding America because of you guys and the amazing shit that you guys do and spent and the whole crew for making all that stuff happen. It's absolutely astonishing, and it's really just the beginning of what's to come this year. So hit me up about shirts, hit me up about tailgates, and then hit me up and let us know on Facebook if you're coming to our live event on June 9th at Wing House on Hillsboro. Thanks for joining us. I am out of here.
Work.
Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest.
Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moonhead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck. To receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight, and see you next time. And most of all, go Bucks!